May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 330. Your harps, ye trembling saints, down from the willows take, loud to the praise of Christ our Lord, bid every string awake. 330.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, two portions. Firstly, Psalm 95, the 95th Psalm. Psalm 95. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Now the book of Hebrews and chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honour than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, whereof, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, thou that art the same yesterday, and today, and forever, we thank thee that we may come before thee, knowing that thou art long-suffering and forbearing. Lord, that thou wilt not at all acquit the wicked, but hast provided a way of escape, a way of reconciliation, a way through thy beloved Son, that those that are guilty sinners may approach unto thee, may confess their sins, may be forgiven their sins, may be brought nigh unto thee, and not only to enjoy thee while on earth, but to enjoy thee forever. We do seek, Lord, to be a prepared people for a prepared place, and not an unprepared people for a prepared place. O Lord, do be pleased to grant thy saving work of grace in each heart here, and cause that thy word might have free course and be glorified this evening, that all hindrances, stumbling blocks, and all ways whereby thy word is made of none effect might be removed out of the way, and thy word be as a sharp two-edged sword, dividing asunder to the thoughts and intents of the heart, that it might be the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that thou hast grant, Lord, that we might know that living and quickening word, Lord, the word of our God, that shall not return unto thee void, but shall accomplish the thing whereto thou didst send it. Lord, we thank thee for thy day. We come now to the evening hour of it. Do bless that which has been attended to already, the message sent forth from here, and other causes represented here tonight. And oh, do be pleased to remember us, Lord. We have but a little more time today to hear thy word proclaimed. And oh, Lord, do remember any who have been at a stretch for thy word throughout the day, and they have as yet not had their petitions answered. Lord, do thou speak through thy word. Grant us an evening blessing. Grant us, Lord, that help as we enter upon this week, And we would be mindful of the dear friends here, the young friends to be married during this week. O Lord, do grant them that which to go forth this week with a help from the sanctuary, an encouragement in the way for them as they anticipate starting their married life together. We commit them lovingly unto thee and pray that thou hast give them thy care and protection, and those that will meet with them here and from elsewhere throughout this week in the journeys, and that thou hast grant suitable weather, if it could please thee. Help, Lord, as they join together. May thy blessing, may it be a sacred occasion. We do ask of thee this blessing for them and the dear families here. And O Lord, do be pleased to remember also the great events, Lord, concerning our nation in this week. Lord, hear prayer again. Lord, thou art he that doth set over us the powers that be, that are ordained of God. And we have every reason to fear, remembering our provocations, our sin, our forgetfulness of thee and the iniquity that runs down our streets, that thou hast seen fit to set over us in the near future and in the days to come those that shall be of a great sorrow and a great trial, not only to thy people but also to the people of this land. And Lord, thou knowest the way that is before us. We pray that thou hast grant real godly sorrow and repentance beginning in the Church of God and flowing forth, Lord, into the society and into those that are in authority over us. O deliver us from wicked and unreasonable men, for all men have not faith. And do grant that again righteousness might exalt this nation. And Lord, that the expectation that we have as around the churches where there have been blessing, where there has, in spite of all our sin, constrained many young people to come and declare what thou hast done for their souls. Lord, we have an expectation. Thou hast not forsaken us. Thou art blessing our churches, the ministry. There is a generation that is rising up, that are bringing their children into thy courts. We thank thee for the children here and for the families that seek to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We particularly pray for those parents who feel that they themselves are not thy people. They want to be thy people, but they with their children are seekers. Oh, help them in their families when they may have many things they cannot answer their children, that they might be able to say, we will seek the Lord together. We will desire the Lord to bless us together, parents and children together. O Lord, help. Help, Lord, those in that position to maintain a family altar, to read thy word and to pray before their families and bless them in it and through it and bless the children too. O Lord, do give that needful ability, take away fear, and Lord, do grant those encouragements to set up that family altar and maintain it. We know that there is many things that will fight against those times in our families. And O Lord, do hear prayer then for the families and couples here, that thou hast blessed them and keep them. And Lord, that the children might grow up as thy children, and that thou hast grant a love to the house of God, the people of God, a love to thy word and a love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do remember any here this evening who feel as they come into thy house the burden of a hard heart. Do grant the softening warmth of grace, and may thy word enter. Remember those that are indifferent to it or nurse a hard heart, and do be pleased to soften their hearts and break them with thy word. O Lord, we do thank thee for thy many mercies in spite of all our sin and provocations, for our food, our raiment, for our health and our strength, for one another in the Lord and communion and fellowship one with another. Lord, thou hast blessed the friends here with a good congregation. We thank thee for it. But do remember the little hills of Zion that will be meeting this evening with only 3 or 4, those even perhaps less than that. We pray also for our churches in Australia, in Canada, America. Lord, those that do not have other places of worship nearby, other brethren that they can meet with and have communion with, that do not have the Bethesda homes, that do not have prayer meetings that they can go to of other churches, that do not have those that they may speak with face to face of the things of God. Lord, we pray for them, and that thou hast blessed and be with them, for thou knowest their path. And where we have these blessings, O Lord, may they be prized. May thou be thanked for them. We know how easy it is to not realize that we have a blessing when we do, and don't realize until it is taken away what we have had. O Lord, do be pleased to remember this cause of truth. Bless them with a pastor, the pastor after thine own heart. Grant them what thou hast promised to the church of God. And be pleased, O Lord, to bless them with an exercise and a fulfillment of it, and send unto the man of thy choosing. O Lord, we pray this for them, that they might not be settled down and think it a usual thing to have supplies. We thank thee for the opportunity to minister here, and for each of thy dear servants that minister here, for the help of thy Spirit, the communion and friendship and love of the dear brethren. O Lord, bless them indeed with every blessing. And O Lord, if it could please thee, grant one to come in and out amongst them. Now, Lord, we do ask thee thy help now as we turn to thy word. Lord, grant thy Holy Spirit. Grant, Lord, that help in speaking, the opening up of thy word, the application of it. Oh, may it remain, and deliver us from the little foxes, from Satan, from the birds of the air, from that which will rob and take away, from that which is sown. O Lord, do help us to worship thee, to praise thy name. May we gather in a true spirit of reverence and awe and worship this evening. And do remember those round about this hill of Zion, this candlestick, many who have met for pleasure this day round about. O Lord, do work in sinners' hearts. Do be pleased to send out thy word into this community, and may there be those brought in as strangers and brought to be dear beloved brethren. O Lord, make the friends here to be faithful stewards of thy word, not kept as a closet in their bosom, but send forth and spread forth to all around. O Lord, we do seek that thy word, the word that we prize and we love, might be known by so many that are in darkness, that know it not, that know not the word of the Lord. So, Lord, we do ask thy blessing upon it now as we gather round it, and oh, hear prayer that others might gather to hear it too. We ask through thy name that thou wouldst be with the sick, comfort the bereaved, be with them in that path, and that thou hast sanctified and used these things for the good of souls and for thine honour and glory. We ask through thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn number 92. Who is this fair one in distress that travels from this wilderness, oppressed with sorrows and with sins, on her beloved Lord she leans. Number 92.
Thank you.
Speaking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayer for attention to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3, and we'll read for our text part of verse 15. Part of verse 15. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The whole verse reads, while it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. We've read these words several times this evening. We began in reading them in Psalm 95. It refers back to the wilderness journey of the children of Israel. God spoke to them, and yet they rebelled against his word. They didn't believe his word, and particularly in refusing to go up into the promised land, refusing to believe that God was able to conquer the inhabitants and give it them. And so they were sent back into the wilderness, and they perished in the wilderness. And right through those journeys, many times, time and again, they were murmuring, they were complaining, they refused to hear the word of God, refused to obey it. And it is the example of the children of Israel that is set before us. It's set before the psalmist in his day in the Old Testament as a warning to them, lest they should also harden their hearts and provoke and not hear the word of the Lord. And then here in Hebrews, in the New Testament, and in these gospel days, this same warning drawn from the same examples of the children of Israel is set forth also to us. And what is very evident is that God does speak to his people. He has done right from the very beginning of time. He's not silent to them. He's spoken through prophets. He's spoken through his word. He speaks in these last days through his Son. And yet it is also very evident that there are those to whom he speaks and they set their hearts against that word and will not hear it and block it out from them, and it does not profit them at all. What also is evident, and I want to be careful here, because in every congregation there is a mixed congregation, but here is a word that really is spoken specifically to brethren. The chapter begins here, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. It could not be clearer that those to whom the apostle is writing here are those who have been called by grace. They are living souls. They are those who have been given a hearing ear and who really in their hearts should really desire to walk in his ways. They are his people. And yet even those people, and this won't be a surprise, I believe, to some of you here that are the Lord's people, if you know your hearts, that you know the need of such a word like this. But I don't want any of you here to think, well, this is just for believers now, so we're going to put our seats back and we're going to not listen because that doesn't. It's just the church of God it applies to. Don't ever do that, dear friends. While the Lord is speaking to his people, remember the first promise that was ever given to man, the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman. That was not spoken to Adam, nor was it spoken to Eve. It was spoken to Satan, that he shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. A man listens, and he hears promise, and he hears what is said for him. You think of the woman that came washing the feet of our Lord. And our Lord says to Simon, you see this woman. I've entered into your house. You haven't given me water. You haven't washed my feet or anything. But this woman, she has washed my feet. He says, I say unto you that her sins, which are many, are forgiven her. He's not speaking to her. She's listening to him. She's hearing what she's saying about her. But then he does turn to her. And he says directly to her. You know, there are many times when the Lord first is exercising my soul in the things of God. And I'm not sure what your practice is here. But in Melbourne at the Lord's table, the church members, they came forward and the congregation was free to stay in if they liked. And we moved then to the back and I sat on the back and I saw them. And all those seats between me and the back seat and them seemed to be such a great gulf. And I felt I was not like them and I was not one of them. But I really longed and I wanted to be amongst them, but felt like Ruth, though I'm not like one of thine handmaids. And that was when I was seeking the Lord. Before that time, well, I just went out. I didn't want to stay in the chapel. I didn't have a concern of the things of God. But there are many, and I hope there are those here. And though you cannot say that you are one of the Lord's people, you can say that you do want to be and you desire to be amongst them. And when they are speaking and when they are gathered together, then you will listen and you go as close as you can. How many in the time past have been blessed in perhaps following the Lord's people home and they've been conversing of the things of God and they've heard what has been said. And that's been blessed to them. They've desired to have those same blessings. I can truly say when the Lord first began in my heart, it was some 4 years before I was brought to put the Lord on in open profession. And I had blessings and helps during that time. But if someone had said, are you one of the Lord's people? I could not have said. And it wasn't until the Lord did truly bless me and draw me to the ordinances of his house in such a way, and it came as such a shock and a surprise. What, me? One of thy people? Me? After all those years sitting at the back of the chapel, think that I could come and join with the people of God. And it came as such a surprise to me, but I couldn't deny what the Lord had given me to hear and to walk in. So when we have these passages that are very clearly they are speaking to the Lord's people, though you may feel that you're not, do listen, because then you'll find also that the things spoken to the Lord's people show that they may be and they are the same as you. They've still got the same heart. They've still got the same fallen nature. They still need to be exhorted. They still need the Lord to be their all and to help them. And you may well find, well, you go home from the Lord's house and you say, well, I know that was meant for the Lord's people, but that's been a help to me. And I found that good for my soul. And by you'll begin to find that there are those things that are spoken to the Lord's people and you think these things are good for my soul. These things are what have been applied to me. And the Lord then bear witness with your spirit that that same spiritual meat that the brethren are partaking of, you are too. And you can't think, how could it be any more than that or any more better than that, that the Lord has given me those portions as well. Not just gleanings, but sometimes real handfuls of purpose that you feel persuaded have been given and sent for your soul. And so we have this that is drawn from the church, right from the typical Israel, right through to today. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That which is written aforetime is written for our learning, that we through comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And so it is in this way that it is applied here, applied to the holy brethren, and in a way of warning, and of course, as in a national way, the children of Israel as a body that represented the people of God, they did come into the promised land. But as individuals, there were many there that were professedly the Lord's people and numbered with them that all went through the Red Sea and to whom the law was given, many of those perished in the wilderness. And it's that argument that is often used, because we know that in the Church of God and in those that are professed believers, there are those, most solemn, that are like Judas, that are like those that came to the Lord at last and said, "Thou hast taught in our streets, we have been called by thy name." And he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity." It's very, very searching. God's people are meant to be searched, but not to cast away their hope, but like the hymn writer, "Search, Lord, O search my inmost heart and try its real state to find." Or in what you've just been singing here, verse 5 in hymn 92, "But I am jealous of my heart, lest it should once from thee depart. Then let thy name be well impressed as a fair signet on my breast." And that truly will be the desire of a soul that knows that their heart is deceitful and knows really the warning and the message that is in our text this evening. "Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Could we picture a people that are saying, "Well, we want to hear his voice," and yet really there are things that they are doing and ways that they are walking that they're not going to hear his voice? Well, I want to look at this word again in three ways. Firstly, is a message that is for a today. The word begins, "Today, if ye will hear his voice." Also, it is, secondly, a message that gives a reason why his voice is not heard. And that reason is given, "Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." But then in the third place, it is a message of expectation. You cannot read a word like this, but have raised up an expectation that the Lord is about to speak and that the Lord will speak to his people. And that's why he is giving such an exhortation like this, paving the way for when his people should hear his voice. "Today, if ye will hear his voice." Today. How many times have we perhaps consciously come into the house of God and thought, "Well, I can't be blessed today. It will be some other day." Or perhaps unconsciously thought that. Your dear brethren here, the deacons, don't feel that way. More than once today, I've heard them ask, the Lord to bless the word today. Make this a time that is a remembered time. How many occasions there have been where we have not had that pressing thought that we must and that we want to hear the word today. We think, well, there's a service in the week, there's next week. Always putting off. It is a thing of our fallen nature all the time to be putting things off, waiting for another time, thinking that it shall not be now. You think of how it was when Paul, he spoke to Felix, and this is when he was being kept there at Caesarea. And Felix, he reasoned, Paul, he reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled. And then he answered and he said, go thy way this time, when I have a convenient season. I will call for thee. There are those of you here, and that's your language. You might say it's not convenient today. If the Lord should speak to me today, if he should bless me today, that will upset my plans. That won't be convenient. I need some other time, not now. Now this needs to be laid upon our hearts. The emphasis here in Psalm 95 and in here, in the verses that are here, we have in verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice. And what he's meaning is this. This is a word quoted from Psalm 95. He is saying the Holy Ghost inspired that word. That is the Holy Ghost speaking to us, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice. And that then is reinforced again in verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Tomorrow, it is said, never comes. It is to seek the Lord while he may be found. How many have gone from the house of God, and there has not ever been another occasion when they should hear that word. We take so much for granted. We think that we shall hear again. We shall have another time that we shall hear the word of the Lord. But it is so urgent here that it is today. And so may we be mindful that when we hear the word of God, it is spoken to us today. And may it be a precious thing to us that it really is spoken to us today. That we do hear it, that we are gathered together in the Lord's house. Today. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. We have then here in the second place a reason. A reason why his voice is not heard. And that reason is given as a hardened heart. Our Lord spoke a parable which he said to his disciples when they asked him the meaning of it. He said to them, if ye know not the meaning of this parable, how then will ye know all parables? Because the parable of the sower is a key parable, because it speaks of the word of God, which is the seed, which is the sown, and how that falls into the ground and how it brings forth fruit. And one of those types of ground was the wayside, that hard ground that the seed did not enter into at all, and the birds of the air came and they took it away straight away. And the Lord interpreted it and said, that is a heart that one that hears and understands not the word, and Satan comes and takes it out of their hearts. But the idea is there, something that is hard, something like a rock, then the word does not enter at all where the heart is hard. Now how is it? What is spoken of here as to what makes that hard, that heart hard, and the heart in such a way as being hardened? This is spoken to the Lord's people as something that they are consciously doing. Now we know that our hearts by nature are hard and stone. They're stony hearts. And we hope to come to a moment about the way the Lord does make those hard hearts soft. But in the first place here, here are those that are spoken of, that they are nurturing this hard heart. And we're told in verse 10, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. They had heart errors, things that were being nursed in their hearts, things that were wrong in their hearts. They erred there. Outwardly, may have been, as it were, passable. But we read of those who receive not the truth in the love of it, and that the word did not profit them, being not mixed with faith in them that heard it. And so the word that is received in a natural way, that which is not done like the Bereans who came home and they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so, the word wasn't, as it were, sifted with the word and with prayer, and they erred in their hearts. The most solemn thing, there are those that will hear the outward word of the Lord, but the interpretation that they put on it is not the interpretation of the word of God. You'd be amazed at some of the twistings and perversions even that the professed of the Lord's people will make of the word of God when they receive that into their heart, but then it is twisted and turned, as it were, to suit what they want and the way that they want to go. May we not use the word of God as a license to sin or just to suit what we want. And it's not the true word of God, something out of context. Our journalists often do that. They might report something what someone has said, but they only report half of it. And so when they only have half of it or leave out some word, then they can make it mean quite different. It's like the account of a thief that was brought before the judge. And the judge said, why do you keep stealing? He said, because in the commandments it says, let him that stole steal. And the judge says, no, it says, let him that stole steal not. He said, I've no use for the word not. And he could make the word of God say what he wanted just by leaving out a word or adding a word. May we not err in our hearts like that. But then we also have in verse 12, we have an evil heart of unbelief. The children of Israel, they were told by the Lord that he would go before them. They were given directions as to what to do, and yet they refused to do it. They did not believe God's word. They did not believe the spies that brought a good report when they said the Lord is able to give us the land. They limited the Holy One of Israel. I think one of the most solemn accounts of unbelief in that way is later on when there was the famine in Samaria and the prophet prophesied of great plenty in Samaria the next day. And there was a Lord on whom the king leaned. And that Lord said, in a scathing, mocking way, that if the Lord were to open windows in heaven, then might this thing be. And the prophet most solemnly said to that man, that thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not partake thereof. And that Lord was put in charge of the gate, and when all the people rushed out to get the food left from the fleeing Syrians, then he was trod to death in the gate. And if you read that account in the scriptures, you will read how that the whole, at the end of that chapter, it rehearses what has happened as if the Holy Spirit so dwelling upon that fact of what was prophesied of that man in his unbelief and limiting the Lord, how it came to pass, his miserable end. Never ever view unbelief as a friend. It is an enemy. Satan will nurture it. Never view unbelief as a sign of being a child of God. God's dear people are plagued with unbelief. They know it, but mark that, plagued by unbelief. I would believe. If I could believe, then all would easy be. And the desire is that they might believe, but feel that heart of unbelief. Here is where it is a nurturing, a going along with the unbelief, a siding with the adversary. And that is how the heart is hardened and the word is stopped. Why are you waiting and seeking to hear the word of the Lord and all the time you think, the Lord cannot do this. The Lord is not able to do this. He's not able to appear in this way. My case is too hard. My case is too different. My providence, the Lord can't touch that. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord had to tell Abraham that. Sarah laughed in her tent. Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, had to go dumb all through his wife's pregnancy because of his unbelief. He did not believe the words of God that should be fulfilled in their season. How much reminder have we of godly people, God's people, that when they have been spoken to by the Lord, then uprises their unbelief and it stops that word. And yes, we see the mercy of the Lord granting it still and yet giving marks of his displeasure of his people not believing him. You think of dear Martha at the tomb of her brother and the Lord says, take away the stone. Martha says, Lord, by this time he stinketh, he had been dead 4 days already. The Lord says, Martha, said I not unto thee, if thou believest, all things are possible, thou wouldst see the glory of God. And they rolled away the stone. Could you think that one of the Lord's dear people, and of all people she would long to have her brother alive and raised again, and yet when the Lord speaks, no, can't believe, got to stop. And we can be just the same like that. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Then we also have in verse 13 a hardening through the deceitfulness of sin. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We have hearts that like our sin. And if we are not mindful of this, when we come to prayer or when we come into the house of God or come before the Word of God, we build a little wall around our favourite sin, our besetting sin. And we say, I don't want to pray against that. And I don't want to hear a word against that. And I want to still indulge that. And you might not, as it were, consciously think, well, this is what I'm doing. But that is what our hearts do. And I have been staggered at the lengths that my deceitful heart will go to circumvent around the Word of God. It will try all sorts of ways to go round it without blatantly going against it, but still getting away with following the lusts and following the ways of the world and going against our conscience and against the Word of God. Sin is very deceitful. So when we come to hear the Word of God, we've got a heart that's hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It's shutting out that Word. There's another aspect of this as well. And is when sin is indulged and walked in, and gradually we get more and more desensitized. So we don't register sin at all. Remember my dear wife, before she was called by grace, the family home, they used to have the television. And she said, you know, years ago we used to have programs and be horrified at what was on them. And then she said, well, as the years went by, we thought, what? We were horrified at that? Well, the things that they're showing now, they're much, much worse. But what's happened? We've gradually accepted more and more things. Sin comes in very gradually, and the devil knows this. He brings it in by degrees. That's what also those in the Church of England know. And when they'll bring in regarding the gay movement, they'll bring in with the women priests, it's not all at once, just, well, if it's blocked now, just wait, just give it a few more years and the barriers will be taken down. And that is being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, slowly made more and more insensitive. And we live in a world where we've got sin and practices all the way around us, and a wicked heart that loves us, loves that sort of thing. And so we can become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin in that way. And when we hear the Word of God, it is just rejected. It does not enter at all. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. There may be mindful, if there are those of us here that really we might say we desire to hear the word of the Lord. And yet at the same time we may be actually hardening our hearts. On one hand, we have every evidence that we're sincerely seeking and asking. On the other hand, we're doing the opposite. It might be like someone says, I'm trying to lose weight. And you look at them and they're running and they're jogging round and round the roads and panting away and you think how earnest they are. They're losing weight, and then you go and watch them at home and they're tucking into this great big meal and all the takeaways. And you think, friend, if you're really sincere about that, you know you're undermining all your efforts by what you're doing and what you're eating. And we can be like that as well. You really long to hear the word of God. And you might be praying for that and asking for that, but at the same time, you're nurturing this evil heart of unbelief and hard. And really, there's parts of the word you don't want to hear. You don't want the Lord to touch that. You want to hear what you want to hear, but not what the Lord would have you to hear. And all while that is so, then the Lord is silent to you. What a warning is here, and to the people of God. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Well, perhaps there are those here and you feel your hard heart, you feel these things that are going on. I think of the hymn writer, "What can soften hearts of stone? Jesus' precious blood alone." No, when we realise that that is what it is, then whatever else we're seeking to the Lord for, we've got one matter, an urgent matter that we have to bring before the Lord. Our hard heart, the thing that is blocking up the way to every other blessing and every other favour, that needs to be removed first. How many times in life are there things like that that need to be done? Before anything more can be done, there needs to be a foundation laid. Before anything needs to be done, something needs to go before, and everything waits for that to be done. And so it is with that hard heart. One way the Lord softens his people's hearts is by his goodness. Sometimes we can think, well, what the Lord would need to do to me, such judgment, such wrath, I fear he's going to touch my family, he's going to do this, he's going to do that, and you look for the wrath of God, and instead, the Lord gives you such a help in providence, such a blessing and appearance that you know that this was done for your favour and good, and it might even be something like a near accident on the road, and you think, the Lord has preserved my life there. That could easily have been so different. And as that wells up within you, you're thinking, I've been thinking that the Lord should deal so hardly with me, but this instance he hasn't. He hasn't. He's shown mercy to me. And when you think on that, to feel the heart soften and begin to melt, and the Lord knows how to manage the hearts of his people. Don't dictate to the Lord and say, Lord, I need this and that. Just confess before him. Confession is the way to deliverance in the Word of God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity. Confession of that sin and confession of the hard heart, and lay it before the Lord. Bit like, again, Mary and Martha, when their brother was sick, they didn't say, now he needs this kind of treatment and that. The doctor didn't get very happy with his patients when they come and they tell him all what he's got to prescribe for them and what's wrong with them. He says, that's what I'm here for. But when it is that, like with Martha and Mary, they say, he whom thou lovest is sick. And they left the rest with the Lord. His answer was not what they thought. He stayed where he was those days, and Lazarus died. But the Lord did what he did out of love. And may we present our case the same, but it be a very clearly defined case that the problem, the main thing, is this hard heart, this deceitful heart, this heart already hardened by sin, who's gone perhaps, and you might go months back or years, and you think, yes, that's when it all started. I've gone gradually more and more hardened from that time, more far from the Lord, and the Lord's been silent unto me, and yet I've been begging for the Lord to speak through his word. But now I see why that word never enters and why it is never heard. May we know that in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is able to soften the hardest hearts of stone. Those that are believers already know that. And some of you here, the Spirit to bring back to remembrance what he has done in time past, how he has softened your heart. Some ways are very precious in the remembrance of it, though we may have gone for many months with a hard heart. I'll mention one from my own experience over in Australia when I was first seeking the Lord, and a godly friend over here, they wrote in a letter and they say, "May God provide you with a godly friend." And you know, I laughed. And I said in my heart, I said, "You've no idea what the situation is in Australia. There's none my own age. It's impossible that this could be so." And then I forgot about the letter. 2 weeks later, the Lord brought me into contact with a Dutch friend who I still am friends with now. He's in Holland, but he lived with me for some time, lodged in my house before then spending time in New Zealand. But he spent that time in my house trying to apply to get a place to New Zealand. And I went through a time during the time he was with me with real hardness of heart, and nothing would change it. You know, I'd be ironing my trousers and I'd burn them and I'd get so angry. And then I burned the pressure cooker and bent the bottom of it like that and had to bash it out again. But that didn't soften my heart, and I felt like throwing the Bible right through the room, and I felt more angry with the Lord. And then one Lord's Day, we came back from the house of God, and my friend was very low, and he said, "I cannot work out why I cannot go to New Zealand." And I suddenly thought, I said to him, "I know why." And I went and I got the letter that I'd forgotten about. And I said, "You had to be a friend for me. That's why." And the Lord brought this about in spite of all my unbelief. And you know, as I read that letter, after all those months of hardness, my heart just softened, just melted at the goodness of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord in that. And what all of those things going wrong could never do, a sense of the Lord's goodness that he'd given me this in spite of my laughing and unbelief, and it softened my heart. But you know, within a week, my friend could go to New Zealand. But you know what I said? The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. If the Lord hadn't have led me in that way, I would never have said that. I've thrown even the Bible further, I'm sure. But as soon as you can see the Lord is in a thing, and the Lord has given it, then you can let it go. Dear Job knew that. And the Lord has an inexhaustible store of how he can deal with sinners' hard hearts and work. He knows exactly your nature, my nature, our circumstances, and how to deal with them. And I prove that all of the Lord's dealings with his people, they are kind. They never are what we deserve. He is a gracious, long-suffering, and a tender God. He is worthy of our highest praise for his long-suffering, tender mercies to us. But may we then be mindful, if we have this hard heart, and have recourse unto the Lord in the first place to deal with that. And in that, we will be realizing what hard-hearted prayers are, and may very often have to confess, "Lord, I'm praying to deal with my hard heart, but my hard heart doesn't want to be dealt with. And I feel my prayer very insincere, but I know that this hard heart is the obstacle to every blessing and favor and comfort that I want for my soul." And so it is an urgent point that it be dealt with. I want to look then at the third place, that it is a message of expectation. We mentioned about the Holy Ghost saying, as it is set forth here in verse 7, "As the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice." The inspired word of God, the way that the Lord speaks to his people is through his word. It is through also their conscience, a tender conscience, a still small voice that quietly speaks within. A voice that is to be heard. And sometimes when it is refused to be heard, the Lord will give us things in our lives that make us to hear and open our hearts to receive it. But there is a real expectation that the Lord will have his voice to be heard. He'll make a way for it. You know, those of you that are parents, if you're trying to tell your children something and they're screaming and yelling or they're banging a drum or bashing the wall, I think the first thing that you do is to try to get them quiet so they actually hear what you have to say. You don't keep talking to them while they're making all of that noise. And so it is also that when the Lord draws our attention to this, that there is something that he is to say. When he brings Elijah up to Mount Horeb and the Lord passes by and there's the wind that rends the rocks, there's the earthquake and there's the fire, and the Lord was not in them, but the Lord passed by, then that wasn't going to be the end of the matter. Those things were a prelude, and that quietness that came after all of that din and all of that noise, then there was a still small voice heard. What an effect that had with Elijah, how he wrapped his face in the mantle, and then the Lord gave him his commission, renewed him again, sent him away, and from that time he had Elisha to minister to him and to help him along the way. The Lord did have a word to speak to him. The still small voice of the Lord, the Spirit of God through the ministry, through his word, into the hearts and consciences of his people. How many times that we've heard it and perhaps squashed it, and then we've proved that if we'd have listened to it, that was the right way. And we've greatly regretted we haven't. I think some of the most sweetest times I've had with that still small voice is again when I used to live on my own, or I'd have the home very often to myself. It might be sweeping up or doing something, and a still small voice, go and pray. And I've always proved, you drop your broom, you drop whatever you're doing. Don't say, wait a minute, I've got another 5 or 10 minutes and then I'm going to go to the bedroom and pray. If you can, do it immediately. Never, never put it off. And I've found those some of the most sweetest, sacred times that I've ever had. And sometimes I've gone on my knees and then gone back to my work with nothing. And then I've heard that again and gone again. And the Lord has so brought his word, so softened my heart, opened up to my understanding the precious things of God, and made the Lord Jesus Christ so precious to me. And those have been lovely times, and they have begun with just a still small voice upon my spirit. Go and pray. Seek the Lord. Go now. Or read his word. Dear friends, a hard heart will blot out that. You won't hear it. There'll be the din of everything else. But those are sacred times, closet times before the Lord. When the Lord speaks to the heart, speaks to the soul. When the Lord draws nigh to his people. What a word that this is, and a word of expectation. Maybe there are those of you here that have specific petitions. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Those of you who desire the Lord, show me the way wherein I should walk. Who want the Lord to assure you that he will instruct you and teach you in the way which thou shalt go. Guide thee with his eye. Not like the horse and mule that are pulled about and forced, but by the word of the Lord. The Lord directing his people through his word. Thy words were found. It's a precious thing where the Lord finds them for us and sends his word. And everyone, we are told, shall receive of his words. And precious were the words that he brought to his apostles, words of commission, words of comfort, words of reassurance that it was himself. And he showed his hands, his feet. We know we shall never see that literally. That by faith we do, and in the church of God, the Lord has given an enduring ordinance, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, in which the Lord is lifted up. Ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come. And those who know and have an interest in the Lord's death will be particularly attracted to that ordinance, because it so sets forth Christ. He instituted it. And it has a voice, a welcoming voice for all of his dear people. I, if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men unto me. And it's a precious thing, as I did when brought to come before the church, to be so drawn to that ordinance and the sufferings of our Lord for my soul as set forth in that. And so it is a blessed thing that we want to hear his voice, and are not consciously hardening our hearts and refusing to walk in the ways of the Lord or to hearken to what he is saying to us. Well, may the Lord bless this word to you today. Today. If ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. May ye be like Job. He maketh my heart soft. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £695, for which we're truly thankful. God willing, Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Henry Mercer next Lord's Day. Mr. Henry Mercer next Lord's Day. And our friends at Fenstanton hope to hold a special prayer meeting next Friday evening. At 7:15. Let us close with hymn 182. If ever it could come to pass that sheep of Christ might fall away, my fickle, feeble soul, alas, would fall 1,000 times a day. Were not thy love as firm as free, thou soon wouldst take it, Lord, from me. 182.
Thank you.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.